in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I think I have the wrong scripture up there, back there in the overhead. The scripture I want is what I just read, okay? What a way to start off. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And if I could title this message tonight, Not Many Days Hence. Not Many Days Hence. You could be seated. As we begin in this Easter season, we have Bishop Putnam that will be here. He will be speaking to us this Sunday a.m., as well as our p.m. service. And then the following week, we have our Easter Sunday a.m. service. We're going to be having a powerful drama from our music ministry. If you're a guest of ours tonight, I'd like to invite you to come out for our Easter service, our Palm Sunday service. I'm so very excited about what God is doing. And I'm very excited because I know that God is going to move in a powerful way. And I am expecting it. And we are expecting it. Sunday night will be a somewhat of an Easter music celebration with a short message at the conclusion. And we have our Good Friday service coming up. And it'll be a prayer time as well as a communion service on that Friday evening, and I'm looking to do something a little bit different for that service. In times past, we focused a lot on the crucifixion, and we've had overhead and such, and songs concerning the crucifixion. And I'm desiring it to be a service with a central theme, and that central theme would be the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood. We have Palm Sunday followed by Easter. And then, not many days from Easter Sunday, we have Pentecost Sunday. And as Jesus stood there that day and he gave them that promise, he gave us that same promise, not many days hence. From the first of this year, much of our focus has been on the internal heart of the church. Our prayer has been on the internal heart of the individuals. Most of my preaching has been to the church body as a whole. And I feel that tonight there's starting a shift in that focus, a shift in the spirit. And we as a church, we need to prepare for what God is planning on releasing onto us. We need to prepare for what God is planning to release into us and through us, not many days hence. We have been talking about this. We've been praying about this. We've been fasting about this. I've spoken on moving forward and moving northward. And I spoke of Israel, how they headed north to the promised land. And as I woke up this morning and I could hear the winds blowing around the house, I could feel in my spirit as I laid there in bed that the winds had changed. I don't know how it was at your house, and sometimes God deals with us as individuals and deals in the physical, and he uses physical things that happen to us and that we experience, and he puts them into a spiritual context. And as I was laying there in bed and I could hear the wind whistling around the house, I knew that the wind had changed overnight. I could feel that the wind had changed because normally the winds, if you've ever been out to our house, we live out in the country and we're surrounded by thousands of acres of empty land. There's nothing around us save the trees that are bordering our property and wide open spaces. And in the fall of the year around Labor Day, I can walk outside of my home and I can feel the winds of summer as they begin to wane and the winds of the fall as it begins to shift. I don't know what it is about Labor Day. It's not the day itself, other than it is a particular season. And I can feel that the winds in the fall of the year around Labor Day, they seem to shift out of the south and the southwest, and they begin to come out of the north and the northwest. The geese begin to fly over, and the ducks begin to appear in large numbers at the ponds and the creeks around us, and you can hear those cranes as they crackle overhead. The birds begin to flock up for their long trip south, and the leaves begin to turn into their beautiful fall colors as the winds pick up. They begin that slow meandering fall onto the ground. And this morning as I woke up, I could hear the wind blowing, but it was not blowing from the north and northwest. It was coming from the south and the southwest. I went outside to our patio, and the wind was blowing so strong from the south. The winds had changed, and last night I could hear the thunder as the storms rolled in, as if to declare to all that it is a new day. A new season has dawned. A new season has arrived. The winter winds and the winter snows have given way to spring rains and spring flowers. And as I was walking outside this morning in the middle of the yard, which we landscaped entirely last fall, put all new dirt down and new seeds, and right there in the middle of an area that we had seeded and graded and driven over multiple times with the tractor spreading out the dirt, was a little daffodil. How in the world, in the middle of all of those neat seeds coming up, was a little tiny daffodil? Wasn't much taller than maybe 3 inches, and it's poked this beautiful little head above the soil as if to say that I have arrived. Spring can begin. Last Sunday a.m. while we were sleeping, time itself changed as if to say that all of nature was saying it is time to spring into action. It is time to look forward into a new hour, into a new day, into a new season. A new season has come upon us, and a new day has arrived, and it is, Calvary Gospel Church, a season of change. But many of you here tonight, you may have been like that little daffodil. You may have gone through a season in your life, or a season of dormancy, a season perhaps of spiritual dormancy, and you are in a time where you have been laying beneath the soil, so to speak, thinking that perhaps the sun may never shine on you again, and as the winter snows begin to pile up and the ground freezes around your roots, that beautiful flower wilted and died. But just beneath that frozen surface, just beneath that frozen ground, there is life. A new hope has arrived as a new season has come, as the sun has literally renewed your faith with a new renewed spirit and a new level of heat in your life. A new level of expectation has arrived on the scene, and you have felt that in the Holy Ghost as it begins to warm up your life and a new flower springs forth. I believe, if I can for a moment, just share with you what I feel God desires to do here within the next month or so at Calvary Gospel Church. As pastors, sometimes we preach, and we get up and we preach messages and messages of encouragement and such, and sometimes that we have to teach. We do our best to, or I do my best to preach and my best to teach, and we also have to pray. We need to fast. We need to administrate the daily workings of the church. And sometimes as we speak, as God would have us to speak, and that is what God desires to do, is that is speaking as if what we're saying, God is actually saying, this is what I want to happen. I don't want to always, I'm a little cautious in using the word preaching in the prophetics, because I know what a lot of people think about when you say, well, he's a prophetic type of a preacher, but I believe as a pastor, sometimes God shows us and said, this is where I desire for my church to go, so I have to speak in this type of a language. Just understand, it forces us, it forces me, it forces all of us out of a zone of comfort when God says, I want you to do this. And if you do this, then I will do this. And when I do this, then that will empower you to do the next step. And God continues to lead us along as a church. I am not one to get up and say that God spoke to me in such a prophetical way or a word of prophet. I do not consider myself a prophet, but I am a pastor. But I feel that God is trying to tell us something here tonight. And as I said, as I woke up this morning, this was not what was on my mind to preach. And I went to have lunch. And as I sat there at the lunch table, I opened up my laptop and I began to type. And God began to things began to flow. And on my way from the restaurant to church, I pulled over and I had to take and start to type again because God just began to speak to me. As we enter into this Easter season, the winds of change have come upon us. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, understand one thing, he set into motion a chain of events that would literally change heaven forever, as well as shake hell to its very core. When Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on that Sunday, everything changed. He set into motion a series of events that would change mankind forever. It would forever change the course of history as well as change the relationship forever between God and the Creator and man and the creation. You see, Palm Sunday set into motion a new day, a new season, and a new time. And just as springtime, as the time changes, he sets into motion events that change things and events that change the world around us. Church, this Sunday, are you saying you're being very specific, Pastor Roy? God, when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was very specific as to the date. He was very specific as to the time. He was very specific as to what he rode in on. God is a God of specifics. It's just not a big gander. Toss a dice, flip a coin, and let's see what happens. We're entering into a season of change. This Sunday, I believe in the Holy Ghost that things will be set into motion. The beginning of our season of change here at Calvary Gospel Church. A new day has come upon us. A new time has come. And a new change. Not many days hence, as Jesus rode into the city that day, there was excitement in the air. The Messiah had arrived. He was here. He was ready to deliver. He was ready to heal. He was ready to change their world as they knew it. And I believe that once again, history has been set up. God has set this up. That we are on a very similar course. The world today, I believe, is ready for a Messiah. The world today is ready for a deliverer. The world today is ready for a change. The world today is ready for a healer. The world today is ready for deliverance. And the time for change is not many days hence. I've read reports all over the world as to how God is moving in such a powerful way. Today I just received a news report from the country of Belize. It's a country that's south of us in Central America. The Abernathys are there. They've had such great growth that they've had to greatly expand their new ministers going into ministry. Out of their Bible school, they've had a number of abundance of new ministers. Here at Calvary Gospel Church this spring, we have, I believe, 8 new ministers going and getting their license. They're not getting their license just so it looks good on a resume as they apply for jobs. They're getting their license because they're preparing to plant seeds and to help preach and teach and whatever is necessary here as this church expands and grows across Dane County. Down there in Belize, they have an emergency. They need 8 new Honda motor scooters for the new ministers to get around all the churches that have sprung up. It cost about $2,800 for a Honda motor scooter, a brand new scooter, and it includes 1 year's worth of gas as well as insurance for that scooter, so that each one of these new ministers that has graduated out of their graduation, their Bible school, he can effectively reach the churches that he's been assigned to pastor. I don't know how you feel, Calvary Gospel Church, but I think we need to buy a few scooters. I think we need to pitch in, and if you'd like to help pitch in and buy a new scooter, just put it on your missions. When you turn it in and say, I'd like to give $100 or $200 or $500. If you'd like to bless someone, buy them a whole scooter. It's up to you. But I believe that it is our responsibility as well as theirs to get this gospel all across this world of ours. I read all across Africa. I've watched videos of Asia and the Far East countries and the Philippines. Listen, church, this is not by some accident that all of this is happening across our globe. It's not by some freak thing that this is happening. This is because of a divine move of the Holy Ghost that has been set into actions by the prayers and the fasting of the saints of God. It is a chain of events. It's a chain of prayer. It's a chain of fasting that has moved the hand of an almighty God and set into motion a revival of unimaginable proportions. Not many days hence. Not many days hence, I believe that Palm Sunday, just as it happened 2,000 years ago, is going to set into motion here at Calvary Gospel Church a set of events that will change us forever. Palm Sunday, there was a level of excitement. There was a level of expectation. There was a level of faith. There was a level of change. It was a time of renewed revelations. All the people were anticipating that something great was going to happen because their Messiah was coming into town. We know that as the week played out in history, that this great celebration, this great awakening ended in the tragic death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But one must understand that it was through death that life was to spring forth. It was through death that victory was to come. It was through death that we are given our power and our authority. It is through death and through our repentance, through our dying of oneself in prayer and fasting, that a new life has sprung forth. And some of you have not witnessed in years and are now experiencing a bold, brand new life in Jesus Christ. God is giving His church a new spirit of boldness. God desires to lay upon us a new level of boldness. Now notice I did not say belligerence. You see, being bold is simply having a confidence in what you say or believe. You see, Jesus was bold as he preached the gospel. Peter was belligerent as he wanted to call fire down from heaven and burn those up who made fun of them or mocked them. That's the difference between boldness and belligerence. God desires that we be confident in him, that we be bold in him. And God has awakened up his church, and he's awakened it up into a new level of boldness. So we must go in and through this season of death and our lives, a season of repentance, a season of deep heart searching. We have our Good Friday service coming up, and I wish that all of the church would be there in attendance. It's not going to be a long, drawn out service, but it's going to be a powerful service because it's going to talk about the power and the blood and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It will be a service of encouragement, a service of uplifting, a service of deliverance, repentance and salvation. We are celebrating the power of his blood and the power it has to cover the sins in our lives. We have Easter Sunday, and Easter Sunday, and I believe which God desires, and God will pour out his spirit upon us. I'm very excited about Easter week, and as I woke up this morning, exciting and anticipating and I'm desiring to see my expectation and my faith collide. There is such a level of faith in this place. And as a result, I believe that many of us are going to take that faith. We're going to start to take some faith-filled risks and trust God in many new ways. I said before, some of you, God has placed a new level of boldness in you, a new level of praying for and encouraging total strangers that you see in public, people that you met on the job, people that sit next to you on the job. You have entered into a new stage in your life, a new stage of boldness, and God is going to use that boldness to bring deliverance and repentance unto those that are around you. You see, church, it's not just going to be when we storm the gates of the enemy. We are going to storm the gates of the enemy. As Jesus said, or God spoke to Joshua and told him to prepare yourselves for tomorrow. I shall do great wonders among you. We are going to invade the enemy's territory with the kingdom of God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. They will have to back away. They will be forced to break down, and they will scatter in chaos. Since Sister Kim Johnson came here and she spoke to us last fall, as she spoke of the angels gathering above this city for battle, and we've mentioned this time a few times before, and she spoke of Michael the archangel himself being here preparing for battle with the enemy. I know this may sound crazy tonight. I may sound like this is over the top and that I'm off my rocker, but I would like to declare at this time, Michael the archangel, wherever you are in the round this city position in battle, that I present to you, Calvary Gospel Church, we are ready, prepared and fit to do battle. We wait upon the command of our supreme leader, the one and only Lord Jesus Christ. What is it you would have us to do? Where is it you would have us to go? Church, we have entered into a new season, and not many days hence, we shall see the salvation. We shall see the wonders of our Lord. Those who have walked away from God, all of those hundred, all of those thousands over the years, they will be drawn back into this place. They will be drawn back into this place of healing. They will be drawn back into this place of salvation. They will be drawn back into this place of deliverance. I believe and I expect that the power to heal is going to be released among us. I'm not just saying all these things because they sound fun and they sound exciting, but this is what I feel God is trying to tell us and God is trying to show us. The next leading into this Easter season, this new dimension, this new day, this new time, with sustained power, with a renewed boldness and courage, we will pray for people on the spot and see them healed supernaturally right in front of us. I believe this. People who have been content in the past to be inactive, passive and non-aggressive when it comes to releasing the Holy Spirit and His power. But the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a new hunger and there's a new desire forming inside of us, full of righteousness, coupled with even a greater desire to simply know Jesus in a deeper way. And I believe that God desires to impart into us. He desires to pour out into us words of knowledge and words of wisdom. We've talked about this. We've talked about the fivefold ministry, all of these things. God desires for that to be active in His body. I believe that God wants to take and couple up with us. Now we can say, look at this. Look at what we have. Look at the gift that I have. Look at what I have done. just as Peter and John said, look on us. I have nothing for you. If you come down here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need deliverance, I can lay my hands on you, but I got nothing for you. I got no money for you. I got no food for you. But I will tell you, but what I have, I will give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. One thing that God shared with me today in preparation for this, I spoke on this Sunday morning. Peter even pinpointed where Jesus was from. I wondered that today as I read that. Why did he say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Sunday morning, remember I read that he could do no great work in Nazareth because of their unbelief. He pointed that out. That I am praying for you in the Jesus Christ, the God of the heavens, and the Messiah that you had no faith or confidence in. You thought he was just a carpenter, but I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As he was saying to that crowd of onlookers that day, you have no faith. You don't believe. He's just Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's just a carpenter, but he's my Messiah. And I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Look on us. I've got nothing. But I want to declare to you that day that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you may not believe. You may have heard the stories. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. All of you here tonight, you may not believe. I don't care how much or how little faith that you have, all the rest of us have faith. I believe John, Peter said, I believe. I know John here believes in the name, in the name. Are we getting this tonight, church? In the name, in the name. Church, we are in a new season. We are in a new level. We are in a new power. We are in a new dimension. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. God desires to use his church as he fully designed it to be used. A church with power. A church with authority. A church that had deliverance. A church that could heal. He delivers. He desires that we are entering into a season of sustained victories that pushes the enemy backward. As I was praying this Tuesday here in the sanctuary in our prayer time, I looked up at this sign behind us here, and it says expect. And the very first word when I looked over here that popped into my mind was opposition. As I began to look at this, it's like opposition. It's surrounded. It's in the middle of it's a negative, and everything else is positive. I looked at that and I said, God, expect opposition. And God began to speak to me. He began to say, opposition is not a negative thing. Don't look at opposition as being, it's a bad thing. Opposition tells us, opposition tells you, opposition tells the church that you're headed in the right direction. Opposition tells me that when we are engaged in a battle and that there's an enemy that is opposing us, it is times of opposition that our greatest victories come. It's through opposition that we're pushing back the darkness. It's opposition that's lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, the enemy's defeated, and we can shout it out. Darkness is decreasing, and his light is increasing. The anointing is growing. It's being poured out upon whoever desires to get under the spout. So I want you to get under the spout where the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes out. He's releasing his power to save. He's releasing his power to deliver. He's releasing his power in the supernatural. We look over the years and under Bishop, and he's not here tonight. We have sown seeds. We have sown seeds after seeds after seeds. We have gone through bags after bags of seed. We have gone through truck after truck of seeds. We have gone through rail car after rail car of seeds. We have gone through shiploads of seeds. Bags of seeds have been sown. Hundreds and thousands seeds sowing and planting season after season after season. And this seed that has been planted, it is not going to come back void. It is going to bear fruit, but it's not just going to bear any kind of fruit. It's going to bear a fruit that is a lasting fruit. This fruit, it's not going to spoil. It's not going to rot. It will provide a spiritual food, a spiritual nourishment for those whose appetite is now turning towards a kingdom of God menu. I want to encourage our class teachers, our New Life class. I want to encourage our Sunday school. I want to encourage our outreach. I want to encourage all of the ministries of this church. You may be frustrated at times that you're not seeing the results that you desire to see, but I want to tell you, keep on preaching. Keep on teaching. Brother, Sister Thompson, Brother Seidel, Blake and Sarah, Brother Sister Rossing, keep on teaching. Keep on teaching. Those seeds that have been sown are growing into mature fruit, and that mature fruit is going to be what propels us into the next generation. A season of winds are come upon us. As I spoke in the very beginning, the winds of change have come. A new wave of God's presence is going to sweep across this city. It's going to sweep across this country. It's going to sweep across this world. It's going to reach out. Outreaches, I want to challenge you tonight. Preaching points, I want to challenge you tonight. Ministries, I want to challenge you tonight. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Get ready, because this is going to be the greatest season that we have ever experienced. It's not going to be a one-day event. Sister Felicia, touch twice. It's not going to be a one-day event. It's going to be something that is carried on, and the fruits of that event are going to go on for generation and generation in people's lives. It's not a one-hit wonder, but rather an increasing, a lifetime process that moves mountains with anointed momentum that will extend to the lives of so many, and is a byproduct. As a byproduct, joy and peace will flow out amongst our communities. You see, prayer, church, as the winds change, our prayer must increase. Fasting must reach a new level. Our time with Jesus must increase. Remember Peter and John again, as it says, and they perceived they had been with Jesus. Jesus had already ascended into the heavens, but they were down somewhere. They were on their way to prayer. But just because they were on the way to prayer doesn't mean they weren't in a spirit of prayer. And as they went into that prayer room, they went in full of the Holy Ghost. They didn't come to church. It's so many times we come to church and we're beaten. We're downtrodden. We're all frustrated about what goes on around us. We had a rotten week. We all have rotten weeks, but it doesn't mean we got to come in here all downtrodden, dragging our lip on the ground, saying, pick me up again, pastor. I want to tell you that greater is he that is within you than the power is that comes against you out there in the world. Pick your feet up. Get your lip up. Show your head high. Let everybody know that you're a child of the Most High. You don't care what comes against you. You don't care what kind of battles you have to fight, because in him and through him, we will be victorious. Distractions are going to come, church. We're going to be distracted. This week, last week, I've been distracted by so many different things, frustrated by issues. Our poor staff this week has borne the brunt of this at times. And I want to say this publicly. I love our staff, and I appreciate so very much their attitudes and their love for what they're doing. But I believe that distractions will take a distant back seat as the new winds of change begin to blow. People aren't going to worry about this little issue. It's not going to be that little issue. It's not going to be this. I was offended here, or he said this, or he said that. Not many days hence, church. Not many days hence. We got to get ready, and we got to watch, because a new wave of God's presence is about to hit. A new wave of God's power is about to hit us. A new wave, a new revival is coming, and the kingdom of heaven is definitely at hand as we experience the pre-taste of things in which to come. Last night we met with our altar team. Sister Noah and Brother Renee. Sister Noah. Yeah. Oh, Brother Renee and Sister, yeah. Renee and Noah Strand cooked a great meal. The appetizer was deep fried shrimp. Food again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and don't forget to bring the horseradish sauce or the shrimp sauce. We had shrimp as an appetizer. Noah was out there cooking that shrimp and that oil. Oil was just cooking away, and I'm telling you, it was so good. He brought out a huge plate, and he had this huge plate of shrimp sauce, and man, we are just eating this stuff up. Man, it's such an honor to be pastor and get to go to some of these meetings. The appetizer was deep-fried shrimp, and I ate shrimp, but Noah reminded me that I should not mistake this shrimp as the main course. And he opened up the top of the grill, and sitting there in that open flame, sizzling in smoke, sat the most beautiful piece of meat that I've ever laid my eyes on. That cooked pork tenderloin wrapped up with stuffing and cranberries and glazed in honey sat there simmering. On the stove was asparagus that had delicious flavor to it, potatoes with two sticks of real butter, a touch of garlic, and a salad that was made from heaven's Costco. The right appetizer, you see, sets the tone for the meal to be thoroughly enjoyed. The right appetizer adds flavor. It enhances the taste, and it promotes the ambiance. So far, Calvary Gospel Church, we have experienced the appetizer, but there is an ambiance, a kingdom ambiance, that is beginning to permeate its way through this body. It's beginning to raise as the smoke of that fire begin to lift up and smell the whole patio, the whole neighborhood, as you could smell, and it was being released. God desires to release onto us, into this life, into our lives, and release all over this city, all over this county, and all over this world. See, I successfully tied pork tenderloin in with a move of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If our musicians can come, we are in a season of change, church. We are in a season of change. We can no longer do business as usual. You see, when God releases his power all over this city, I desire that Calvary Gospel Church be right in the middle of it. When God releases his power all over our county, desire that Calvary Gospel Church be right in the middle of it. When God releases his power all over our state, all over our country, and all over our world, I desire that Calvary Gospel Church be right in the middle of it. And then, after God's power is poured out, and then shall the end come. See, church, we can no longer just do church as usual. We are in a new season. You see, we can say, well, change is coming. No, change is not coming. Change has come. Change has come. But you remember, church, change begins. Change began. Where did it begin? It didn't begin on Revival Ridge. It didn't begin on Park Street. It didn't begin at Rolling Prairie. Change began right here at an altar of repentance. If you could stand tonight. I know this is not our normal way of doing church, but I believe that God desires so strongly to move in our presence. Our focus is going to shift, as I said, church. We're still going to challenge the church, but we're going to start to focus those that have never received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Our season of repentance, it has come. And God is moving us forward. I believe we need to be in a constant state of repentance to continue to have the power and the authority and the Spirit. We need it even more. But I won't focus on it quite so much behind the pulpit. I'm going to make an assumption that you understand that in order for us to continue in the direction that we're going, we cannot give up on prayer and repentance and fasting. April, we're going into another fast, a 10-day fast. But you see, change, it has already come in the hearts of many of you. And you're waiting, Lord, what next? Pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. Pray that God would pour out the anointed power of the Holy Ghost onto your life. You see, remember when the early ages of our fasting, I told you not to focus on you. We all get caught up in me prayers. Tonight, I want you to come down here to this altar collectively, us as a church, and I want us to focus on a me prayer. And that is, see, Jesus said, He hath anointed me. He used me, I think, 3 or 4 times in that passage of Scripture. I understand the context and what He was saying, but I believe that tonight we need to say, God, I desire for You to use me. I desire for Your anointing to be poured out upon me, upon my life. I desire, God, to be used in the supernatural. I desire to be used in ministry. I desire to be used in witness. God, give me boldness. Grant me boldness. If you've never repented of your sins, you've never spoken in tongues or been filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to challenge you tonight. A new me, a new you, can be born here tonight. And as God's power begins to fill this place, the church, as we begin to pray that God would empower us, that we would see the necessity of the minute, the necessity of the time in which we live in. And when we come in this place on Palm Sunday, when we come in here Sunday, we come in here at a level of expectations that we have never been to before. Let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. So let's just lift our hands toward the heavens. Let's say, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain upon my soul. Let it rain upon my life. Let the anointed power of the Holy Ghost begin to permeate through me. Lord, this gift that I feel you have given me, the gift of whatever it may be, God, I pray that you would take this gift and that you would activate it within my spirit, that you would activate it within my soul, that there would be a sense of urgency that would come over me. I pray right now, God, upon the brothers and sisters at Calvary Gospel.